Today on Real Radio.
Forget the percentages. Forget the numbers. It's what you decide to do. And here's the thing. You sow sparingly between you and God, you're going to reap sparingly. God says you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. That's a law of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a multi-part series that focuses on the opening verses of chapter 8. Now here the Apostle Paul mentions an example of generosity that had occurred among believers at the time, and we're talking about economic charity. For what it's worth, both the Old and New Testaments are full of passages that speak of the topic of money, and, of course, the godly worldview of its function in society, and, in this case, among believers. It can be quite a sensitive yet also important topic to address. That's why our teacher, Pastor Jack, cites so many of the passages throughout Scripture that touch upon it. It's a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
10% of the 32.5%, 10% went to the priesthood. We've got this thing about 10%. Have you ever heard about 10%? Are you still thinking, well, I need to give 10%? You're not to be thinking in this New Testament era of 10%. It's just an old tradition that's carried it over. You say, awesome, I'll start giving 5. That's fine, you can do that, totally do that. You can give 1, you can give 1%. You can give none. That's between you and God, are you with me? Somebody visiting saying, honey, I like this church now. Now I like this church. Listen, God's going to take care of his people with or without you. You've misunderstood what giving's all about. It's actually between you and God. Number one, it keeps your heart in the right place, because if you don't give to God, you wind up leaning and trusting upon the stuff you got. You look in the checking account, you go, oh man, I'm doing good. And you don't pray as much. Why? Because you're doing good. I bet you in 2008 when the stock market, well, we know suicides in New York went through the roof. They went through the roof and then over the side and down to the pavement. Suicides. People lost millions and hundreds of millions and they jumped off of buildings. They killed themselves. Suicide. Investors were shooting themselves. Why? Because their God took off. They reached around. They couldn't find any manifestation of their God. A friend of mine, actually, he was not a friend of mine at the time. I didn't even know he existed at the time. He lost everything. In 2008, everything in one day, he lost it all. He didn't know Jesus. He put a bullet in his gun, took a drive up to Big Bear, and just before he put the bullet to his head, he had written a letter to his family. He called his brother on the phone. His brother gave him the gospel. He accepted Jesus Christ. He put the gun down and drove down the mountain, went to his wife, broke down bawling, broke down crying, led his whole family to Christ, and now that man serves Jesus today. Why? Change of gods. He changed his God. So 10%, 5%. Listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, we'll be there in a few months or years. 2 Corinthians 9:6 tells us, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Paul's not condemning or exalting anybody. He's saying if you sow a few seeds in the ground, you're going to harvest just a few plants. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is true in everything you and I do. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see the word cheerful in 2 Corinthians 9:7? The word is where we get the English, from this Greek word, we get the English word hilarious. I'm dead serious. Are you kidding me? No, listen, as you purpose in your heart, give to God. A little bit, middle, or more. It's between you and God. Forget the percentages. Forget the numbers. It's what you decide to do. And here's the thing. You sow sparingly between you and God, you're going to reap sparingly. God says you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. That's a law of God. It's your choice. You do whatever you want to do. The cool thing is, you got to do it with hilarity. So watch this. If you've got $1 million in your hand and the plate goes by, you should be like this. Hoo-hoo! All right. I mean, don't do this literally. You look like an idiot. But in your heart, you should be going, yeah. Oh, here it comes. Woo-hoo! There it goes. And if you've got a dollar in your hand, look, let's do this. Let's, in our story, in this illustration, let's say both of you are multimillionaires. One guy puts a dollar in and one guy puts $1 million in. God is looking at your heart. If the guy who puts in $1 but he's got millions is going, oh, all right, I love God. Wow, woo, boom, there goes his dollar and he's all excited. God goes, awesome. You go, well, he should have given more. Not for you to decide. That's between him and God. The law is what you sow with, yeah, you're going to reap of that. So you pray about that. Isn't that fun? Number four, giving what's been given. Number four, giving is an act of dedication, obviously. Look at verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, they gave, Paul said, not only as we had hoped, but they gave, watch this, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Paul is like, if he had buttons on his robe, his chest is busting. He's so happy. Because you know what those poor people did throughout all of Macedonia? They gave so abundantly out of their poverty they gave, and they did that because they had first given themselves to God. That's awesome. And then to us by the will of God. The amazing thing is God invites you and I to be one with him in this act of giving. When we talk about things devoted to God or devotions or dedicating things to God, can I say this with all due respect? Because Jesus loves the church. I love the church. And he gave his life for the church. And I got that part. But please don't misunderstand me. You're sitting here right now. Okay, God has not called you to sit here in church all day long. You preach it, Pastor. I'm like, oh, yeah. Don't have to give and I don't have to come. That's awesome. God doesn't want you to sit in here all day long. God wants you to go out into the world and share the hands and the heart of Jesus Christ. Listen, this is where you get refueled, you know, like mid-air refueling, jet pulls up to the tanker, the fighter jet gets fueled up mid-flight, and then it goes over and drops its bomb somewhere and does all of its stuff that it does. And well, as Christians, we come in here on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we get refueled, and then we break off, and we go drop blessings all over the place. Boom. Blessing. Bang! Blessing. That's what we're to be doing. This is private. I guess it's private. I don't know. I blew it. This last Christmas, we were so busy. We even forgot to get you guys. Remember, every year we've mailed out a Christmas card to you guys. We were so busy, we forgot. And one of the things that we forgot about doing is I had a plan 13 months ago. That the time the next Christmas rolled around, I was going to be giving a nice chunk of change into the hands of our staff members. Now, I'm letting the cat out of the bag, and I'll do it next year, but hopefully they'll forget. But I wanted to secretly shut down the church office, announce a staff meeting in the conference room. They all show up. Here's the deal. We're shutting down the building today. Boom, building shut down. Here's each of you an envelope. Go out all over the community. Here's the deal. Look around. Look for people in need. And when you see somebody in need, start giving out money today. Just go. I don't want to see you guys back here till 5 o'clock. Get out of here. Go give money away. How fun would that be? You say, man, that's fun. Is it fun because someone gave you the money to give away? Yeah. That's fun. Or, listen, is it a blessing big time if we just decide to do that on our own? Both are cool, but one has eternal value. Are you with me? That's dedication and devotion. God has invited us to be giving with that act of dedication. That means you've got skin in the game. I don't know. I don't tell jokes. I told you guys before. I can ruin the simplest joke. But there's some joke out there that runs around someplace. It's cute, and I'm not telling the joke. I'm just telling you that it has to do with this farmyard, barnyard animals were very appreciative of their farmer. And they wanted to show him a feast of dedication, of thankfulness. So the chicken said, man, I'll give you a dozen eggs. I'll work that out. So they signed up the chicken, right? And the cow said, that's cool, man. I'll give you a bucket of milk. I love this farmer John of ours, whatever. We love this guy. And then they all looked over at the pig and they said, what are you going to do? And he said, hey, listen, for you guys, it's a donation. For me, it's total commitment. How are you going to give him bacon without dying? Hey, you can lay an egg, but if you're going to donate bacon, someone's got to die. And God is saying, yeah, you know what? That's the deal. You can devote things and then you can dedicate things. And dedicate things don't get back up from the altar and walk away. They don't lay down there for a snapshot and then get up and walk away. There's an awesome story about Oliver Cromwell. During the reign of Oliver Cromwell, the British government began to run low on silver coins, and Lord Cromwell sent his men into the local cathedrals to see if they could find any precious metals there. After investigating, they reported to Cromwell, the only silver we can find is in the statues of the saints in the cathedrals. To which the radical soldier and statesman of England replied, good, melt down the saints and put them back into circulation. That brief but direct order states the essence of the practical goal of authentic Christianity. Not rows of silver saints crammed into the corners of cathedrals matter, but melted saints circulating through the mainstream of humanity does. Isn't that a good word? I read this week in preparation. This is kind of a cool scientific test. Somebody did this. They took a dollar bill and they took a $100 bill and they somehow marked it. I don't know how you do this. Well, I read it on the internet, so it could be a lie. But it makes sense. They sent out a dollar bill and a $100 bill, and guess which one made it around the world the most? The dollar bill. One guy joked that the dollar bill spent more time in churches than the $100 bill did. But so what? Are you with me? You might sit here today and say, well, I'd love to give, but I ain't got nothing to give. It has nothing to do with your volume or the grandeur of it. The issue is, are you giving? You don't have to give here. You're supposed to, but you don't have to. I mean, really. You're supposed to give where you get fed the word of God. That's what you're supposed to do. But you don't have to do that. But here's the thing. No matter how poor you are, you can give something. You can pray. You can give a little bit of all that you are. How's that? But I will say this. There's something about mammon being put in its place in your heart and mine. And what I mean by that is dethroning mammon, dollars, in our minds. That's a healthy thing. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Matthew 6, 25, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit of stature, that is to your height? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Isn't that awesome? Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but here it is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's God's word. They first gave of themselves, says the Apostle Paul. Listen to this. When he was but 16 years old, he left his home in Kent, England, to seek employment in New York City. Having previously worked in a soap manufacturing shop, he sought to do the same in America. And while he was on his way, he shared with the ship captain why he was going to America. Quote, "I'm traveling to America that I might make soap in New York City." At that, the ship captain gave him this advice. "Son, someone will be the best soap maker in New York City someday. You can be that man. But you must never lose sight of the fact that everything about soap you will be given to you by God. Honor him by giving what you earn." And so William Colgate began his tireless labor. And with it, he gave throughout his long and successful business career. At first, Colgate gave a tenth of his earnings until he started his own soap manufacturing company. Devoting his success to God, he found it a delight to have to increase his giving to 20% and then 40%. And eventually, the Colgate Company became the world's leading manufacturer of soap. By the end of William Colgate's life, he was able to live off just 10% of the company's profit. During the later years of his life, Colgate revealed the origin of his great success. Quote, "All that I was going to have," notice how he started. "All that I was going to have, all that I have ever had, has been devoted to God and to his glory," close quote. He started out saying, "I'm going to give glory to God." So no wonder why God blessed him. If he's only going to live off of 10%, God had to bless the company so Colgate could eat. Think of it. He gave 90% to God. That is awesome. By the way, I did a little bit of research. You know who followed closely to his footsteps? Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of J.C. Penney? Christian. Did the same thing. John D. Rockefeller, the first founder of American Oil, Exxon, Chevron, Mobil. Huge amounts given to God's work. H.P. Cromwell, founder of Quaker Oats. Have you ever heard of a company called Walmart? They give tens of millions of dollars a year to Christian work. Did you know that? Amazing. On and on it goes. Interstate Battery, the founder of Interstate Battery. Profound Christian, huge. On and on it goes. Remarkable, amazing. The clothing company, Forever 21, Christian family owns that company. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Have you ever heard of, you probably not heard about this, In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger. When you go there for lunch today, look at their cups and look at their wrappings. There's verses in their wrappings and in their paper goods. Some of them are hidden. You got to open up the paper goods to find them. Why? Snyder dedicated the company in the 50s to God. On and on it goes. It's absolutely awesome when God is free to put his efforts first when we decide to put him first. Finally, we end with this, giving what's been given, verses 6 through 9, giving is an act of maturity. It's an amazing thing to realize that God invites you and I to be like him in giving. God is so generous. Look at that, from verses 6 down to verse 9. I want to draw to your attention to the closing comment of verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." What a tremendous statement. God is inviting you and I to be like him when it comes to giving. And so, if we were to rewrite that, I wrote this on my own, 2 Californians 1:1. In 2 Californians 1:1, we would write, "For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though I am now rich in him, yet for the sake of others, I now choose to become poor, that through my poverty, I might make others rich." You say, "Jack, you mean am I giving all this stuff away and I'm supposed to give everything away?" I didn't say that. First of all, be willing to give it all away. Live like it's true. Everything that you and I have belongs to God. He became poor for us. How rich was the Son of God? I saw in the news, because he's been in the news so much, this guy Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty guy. And so all this curiosity and stuff. Make a long story short, people have been looking into his life and all this stuff. And I don't know anything about, I've watched 15 minutes of one program. I don't know. So do you watch this show? Yes. Apparently 11 and a half million people a week watch this show. Duck Dynasty thing. I guess the guy lives like a country bumpkin, for real. I guess that's an understatement. He eats like squirrel, and that's him and his family, whatever, okay. But his personal worth is somewhere between $200 and $300 million. I don't know about you, that's a lot of money. And everybody who knows him said he's completely unaffected by his success. You would never know. I also read that he gives a lot to what God wants to do. So you think, oh, that's rich. That's nothing compared to Jesus. Alan Redpath writes this regarding the wealth of Christ. He was so rich that he gave you eyes to see. But have you looked at him? He was so rich that he gave you ears to hear. But have you listened to him? He was so rich that he gave you a mind to think, but have you thought about him? He was so rich that he gave you a will to choose, but have you chosen him? He was so rich that he gave you a tongue to speak, but have you spoken to him? He was so rich that he gave you a life to live, and are you living it for him? Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him, Jesus Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, both visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he was before all things, and in him all things consist or exist." How awesome is that? Jesus gives you eternal life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given, a study taken from the first 9 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Of course, we're also examining the many other passages that address this all-important and often misunderstood topic. Giving What's Been Given is actually a multi-part series that addresses the topic and scriptural worldview of money. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, just so that you know, if you've taken a particular interest in this topic, Pastor Jack's treatment of money, finances, resources, etc., please know that you're not alone. Here at the Ministry of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, we've received letter after phone call after email about this often sensitive and really quite misunderstood but important issue of money. And as Pastor Jack has already said, all we really want to do is see it all through the lens of God's written word. Well, this mini-series we've been hearing here on Real Radio is also available for you on DVD. It's the 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Now, a number of friends of the ministry have reported back saying, it's quite the valuable and biblically-based treatment of this topic, and it's ideal for sharing with friends, family, and their local church. And that's why we're making it available just for you. So, our offer, here it is. For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Again, for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been airing here on Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact can easily be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.